Welcome. You are listening to C3 Hobart Online. We are so glad that you have joined us today. If this message impacts you in any way, please don't hesitate to contact us. We hope you enjoy this message.
Son of God given to us, the thrill that it must have been when that news was proclaimed that the Son of God would be born in a manger. Let me read through from Isaiah chapter 9. It says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Heavenly Father, we just thank you. We thank you that there is a thrill in the name Jesus, that there is a thrill in the understanding that we will celebrate the birth, Heavenly Father, where you came to earth in the form of a baby in order that you would save the world from the brokenness, from the despair, from whatever was pulling us down, that you gave us an opportunity. And Heavenly Father, there is a thrill in that. And we thank you for that. We thank you for that. In your mighty name, amen, amen. Fantastic team. Why don't we just give these guys a round of applause, eh? Fantastic. Great to see you here on, 8 days before Christmas. Does that mean it's on the 8th day of Christmas, or does it count down the other way? Is it the 8th day of Christmas? Or the 12th day, the other way? Yeah, anyway, I'm not too good on those sort of things. Hey, for those who haven't been a presence before, let me tell you, that's also actually an old video. Well, it's a new video, but there has been a new release coming out as well. In the last 5 or 6 days, it has been announced that Jensen Franklin is also coming. Jensen Franklin is one of my favourites, and he's on my podcast rotation quite regularly. He's quite incredible. And also, for some of the old all-time favourites who are a bit of a delirious fans, Martin Smith is coming back to Presence 2018. Martin Smith is one of the most anointed worship leaders of our generation, bar none. And so I just encourage you, if it wasn't enough with John Gray and Erwin McManus, Jensen Franklin and Martin Smith coming as well, do yourself a favour. You will come back a changed person from that. I read to you that passage from Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Isaiah is in the Old Testament, for those who don't know that. And although it may sound like a proclamation of something that just happened, when we say, "For to us a child is born and a son is given," this was penned some 700 years before Christ. And I say BC, although the world is changing these things where we need to call it now BCE, before Common Era, and then CE, which is Common Era. Some people even call it in the life that was and the life that is now. That's what some of the terminology is. Can I tell you something? No matter what we want to call it, whether it is BC and AD, whether it is BCE and CE, whether it is in the life that was or the life that is now, can I tell you there was one thing that all the people who argue and what we want to call these things do not argue about, and that's separated by the birth of Christ. So no matter what we want to call it then and now, I don't care what we call it, it was still separated by the birth of Christ. And that's kind of a cool thing. So we can change the terminology, and as a world, we like to change this terminology. I spoke briefly about this last week, and a retail chain, I won't name them because I'm not going to give them any publicity, but a retail chain on their advertising, and not putting Christmas Day on the 25th, they're calling it Day of the Family. Well, that's lovely. Let's have a Day of the Family, but it's actually Christmas Day. It's the day Christ was born. It's the day we celebrate this. But this passage in Isaiah was written 700 BC, before Jesus would be eventually born in the stables. Now, this was big news. As a young married couple, Marilla and I were on a regular road trip between Sydney and Melbourne. We were Melbourne-born people, but we had moved to Sydney for work. And this particular time, we took this trip a number of times, and it became fairly boring. But this particular time in my VL Commodore with Calais rims on it, tinted windows that were above regulation, and a modified stereo system, I was quite the catch, wasn't I? This particular time, though, no fluffy dice. But this particular time, we were taking the coast road, and we were about 3 hours into the trip, about to pull into a little country town for a pie and a nice coffee, as you do, when Morella handed me a present. It wasn't my birthday, but a present is a present, so you accept it. So I opened the nicely wrapped box to reveal a book that said, "So You're Going to Be a Dad." Now, in hindsight, and for the safety of pedestrians, it was probably better she gave it to me after I parked the car. However, the point is this. This was big news in our life. And so Morella ensured that it had some form of impact. I want you for a moment to consider the planning meetings that went on in heaven for the news that was going to save the world. I can see the angels fluttering around, butcher's paper, whiteboards, documents being saved and sent to the clouds. You like that one? Yeah. And then God in a God-type voice, and I'm not sure what God-type voice is, but God in a God-type voice, which would be kind of deep, I think, says, looks at one of the angels and says, "I'm sending one of you." Now, this is not new. Angels had been sent many times before. We know that Jacob and Joshua had both received angels. We know that that Moses, around the burning bush, there was an angel present. We know in the New Testament that there was times when the angels come. Peter got out of jail. We hear, for those who don't know the Bible so much, Peter was in jail and an angel came, unlocked his chains that were on him, literally walked out the doors that were closed up and ended up outside. So God had a history of sending his angels in order that his people could continue to share the good news. But as it relates to this particular time, I am sensing that up in heaven there was a little bit of argy-bargy going on between the angels, because this assignment meant delivering to the world arguably what was the greatest news ever to have. But they soon realized that there was a bit of a difference with this. You see, after God had chosen his angel, he said, "I don't want you circling the temples. I don't want you going to the wealthy areas of town. I don't want you hanging around with the important religious folks or the learned men or the teachers of the law. For this announcement, the greatest announcement that we will ever hear, I want you to head out to the fields where you will find a bunch of shepherds." Let's take up the story from the Gospel of Luke chapter 2. It'll come up on the screens there. Luke chapter 2, and we're starting at verse 8. "That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified." So would I be. "But the angel reassured them and said, 'Do not be afraid.' He said, 'I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Savior, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David, and you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth lying in a manger." Let me tell you a little bit about shepherding. Along with another profession that we'll leave alone, shepherding is one of the oldest professions of the world. But at one time, if you read through, shepherds actually enjoyed a favored status. But let's be honest, there is a downside to shepherding. And by the time we get to this passage here, the profession of shepherding has decreased significantly in its stature. The reality is that the shepherds had suffered several centuries of bad PR. Shepherds were poor, They lived outdoors. They were not refined. They were not educated. They did not live in the major cities. Their jobs made them little or no money. And probably worst of all was the known fact that they did not bathe and therefore were a little on the nose. Now, although we know that leaders, great leaders such as Jacob and Moses and David started as a shepherd, the point is that by this time, shepherds were deemed as the lower class of society. Shepherds were largely unnoticed by those in power. Why? Because those in power never actually went out into the fields and saw the shepherds. That's why they were out in the fields, obviously because there's grass to eat, but they were kept out in the fields. There was actually a term that was used for the shepherds, and it was this term, amharats, meaning common folk or people of the land. Now, let me assure you that being at this period of time in the Middle Eastern culture, the term, if you were termed amharats, it was not a compliment to you. There is a further point about shepherding. All of these things, if this wasn't bad enough, there is a further point, because the reality is that sheep need 24/7 protection, right? They're out in the paddocks 24/7. And wolves and sheep robbers and all of this sort of stuff, which they were protecting them from. There's such a thing as a sheep robber. Yeah. But they needed 24/7 protection. So, therefore, if they need 24/7 protection, shepherds needed to be on duty day and night. And we read in this passage where the angel came at night time. So, therefore, as it related to the Pharisees and the religious leaders, it counted against the poor shepherds because they were deemed as unfaithful and they were deemed as never being worthy to God. Because they couldn't go into the tabernacle, they couldn't go to the temples, they couldn't do these sort of things because they're out busy looking after the sheep. So the point is this, the last place to expect God to reveal his glory was amongst a bunch of these wool-chasing social outcasts who were deemed of no value to God. Isn't it interesting that we live in a society where often our expectations are completely the opposite end of the spectrum to what God planned. Society tells us completely different sometimes to what God had planned. The point is this, and I want to focus on this morning. I've got a message I've entitled, Why Them? Why Them? And I want to encourage you, if you journal or if you take notes, I have 5 points this morning. They all start with the letter O, which is the first word that came out of my mouth when Morella said that she was pregnant. The second word I'm not going to say here. But if you're journaling, the first point is this, opportunity. Everyone say opportunity. We're 8 days before Christmas. We can get a bit joyous here, people. Everyone say opportunity. Opportunity. All right. It has been written by some biblical scholars that it may just be that the shepherds happened to be at the right place at the right time. Or maybe they're the only ones awake. Now, personally, I give God far more credit than this. Because he did reveal this to Isaiah 700 years beforehand. But the point is that we need to be prepared for the opportunities that God allows to be placed before us. The story is told of a young man who wanted to marry the local farmer's daughter. He went to the father to ask his permission. The farmer looked him over and responded, "Boy, go and stand in that field over there, and I'm going to release 3 bulls, one at a time, no matter their size or their strength. If you can catch just one, you can marry my daughter." The young man stood in the pasture awaiting the first bull. The barn door opened, and out came the biggest, meanest, dirtiest-looking bull that you've ever seen. The young man wasn't quite ready for his first opportunity, so he let the bull go. And he said to himself, "It doesn't matter. There's 2 more opportunities coming." The door opened again for a second time. Here's this young man in the paddock waiting. The door opens, the barn, out comes again another mighty beast, pawing the ground, snorting, grunting. This thing was eyeing him off, eyeballing. Has anyone ever eyeballed a bull? Yeah? Any of the farmers out there, have you ever eyeballed a bull? I'm telling you, it's kind of scary. They don't blink and they look at you and they're big. Really big. And they're actually quicker than you think. So this thing was eyeing him off. And on the first opportunity, he's let it go because he wasn't quite ready. And on this second opportunity, he's looked at this thing that was the size of Green Dog, and he's going, there is too much of a risk with this one, so I'm going to let it go. The young man stood awaiting in the paddock. The gate opened for the third time, and a smile came across the young man's face. Here stood a timid bull. This was an easy win. He would capture the tail of the bull and get the hand of the daughter as the prize. The bull ran towards him. He timed his jump. He jumped with perfection, reached out and grabbed nothing. The bull didn't have a tail. The point is this. Paul tells us in the book of Ephesians, he says, devote yourself to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. Pray for us too that God will give us opportunities and that we will be ready to receive. We need to be ready. Opportunities will come often when we least expect them. It's up to us to be ready to receive. Point number two is outside the box. Outside the box, it starts with O. Growing up, I had never experienced the changing of a pope. In my time growing through, Pope John Paul was always the pope. He had been in power since 1970 something or other. And so he was always there. So I was intrigued when Pope Benedict came into power, how they actually proclaimed this news of a new pope to the world. The reality is, Pope John Paul had been in power for a long time. You know what I'm talking about here, yeah, the popes, right? He'd been in power for a long, long time, nearly three decades. So how is the Vatican, with all of the power and the might and the money and everything they've got behind it, how are they going to declare to the world the new pope? Do you know what they do? They change the colour of the smoke. They normally have black smoke coming out of the Vatican. And when they have decided, when the people inside, the dudes who get to decide this sort of thing, have come up with a decision, they put this peat moss on top of it and out comes this white smoke. This is surely one of the biggest news type things in the world, isn't it? The changing of a pope. And what they do, they change the colour of smoke. But you know what happens when they change the colour of smoke? I saw the news. There is millions start applauding. Because they know that there's a new pope on the way. In a world of immense technology and resources, these guys think outside the box. They don't go with what society says. Now, I'm no betting man, but as it relates to what was arguably the greatest message of all times, you would have got high odds if you had have said the shepherds are going to be the first ones told. I mean, there's Pharisees, there's leaders, there's learned men. Surely God is going to send an angel down to the good people, those who live on the west side of the river, because it's the best side of the river, right? Surely God is going to send the message firstly to them. The point is this, God is not interested in religious traditions or what society tells us is right. God is about ensuring that the good news message is available for all, and he will use whatever means and whoever to ensure this happens. And you know what? This includes you. Maybe you feel like you're an outside the box type of person. Maybe you feel like God couldn't and wouldn't use you. Maybe you feel like that you're not educated. Maybe you feel like you can't speak properly. Maybe you're not fluent in Aramaic. You don't know what Lamentations is all about. You might even think, well, God wouldn't and couldn't use me because I was born to a single mother and surely he's not going to use me. I am on the kid who was on the outside. Let me tell you this. Don't let anybody make you feel bad because you don't have what other folks have. Don't let anybody make you feel bad because you're not in their crowd. God is a God who is prepared to go outside of what society says is normal, and this might be the day that God has chosen to use you to bless others. Point three is this: overflow. Overflow. In Luke chapter 2, the next two verses we read, in Luke chapter 2, 13 to 14, thanks Aidan, says this: suddenly the angel, being singular at this stage, suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. I am convinced the reason God doesn't detail how many angels were in that choir is it because it allows you to believe and to dream. Maybe for you it was 10 other angels. Maybe for you it was 1,000. Maybe for you it was 10,000 or 100,000. Maybe it was a choir of 1,000,000 angels that came. It just says the armies of heaven came praising God and saying glory to God. Can I encourage you, let yourself go, people. Let yourself be immersed in the overflow of what God has for your life. Don't be held back by what others say. Don't be held back because a person next to you is going to say something if you raise your hands in praise to God. Overflow. Come with the overflow of what God has given to you. Personally, I am overfilled with a sense of God's incredible mightiness when I think of 10,000 angels proclaiming glory to God. I see myself as a shepherd standing in a paddock, smelling in the dirty clothes with not much. An angel comes down and tells us the information, and that's not enough. 10,000 angels start saying glory to God. Overflow, overflow, overflow. Can I tell you something? I encourage you to release what God has put in you. God is a God of the overflow. God is not a God of just enough. God is a God of giving us more than enough. God is a God who gives us an abundance of things. The Word of God tells us this, that God is a God who wants to see us overflowing. Because can I tell you, when you flow onto others. That's what happens when you overflow. I want you to picture a bucket. When that bucket overflows, the water goes everywhere, right? When that water goes everywhere, when God has overflowing with you with love and kindness and self-control and all of these things, when that flows down onto others, guess what? People's toes get wet by your love. People's toes get wet by the peace they see in you and the love they see in you. Be a people that are overflowing with what God has given to us. Fourth point is this: obey. Can I tell you, God is a God who is big on obedience. God is a God who is big on obedience. Here is something that bears thinking about. I want you to think about this passage. Think about this statement, sorry. Ultimately, the eternal consequences of our life are dependent upon our obedience or disobedience to God and His Word. Let me say it again for those who are fidgeting, because it's pretty hard to hear sometimes. Ultimately, the eternal consequences of our life are dependent upon our obedience or disobedience to God and His Word. Story goes on. Luke chapter 2, 15, the story goes on. When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So the shepherds hurried to the village, and they found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everybody what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. Verse 18 says this: all who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. All who heard the shepherd's story were amazed. When God trusts us to deliver something, we need to respond in obedience. This was not a message to be kept by a bunch of shepherds 9 miles outside of Bethlehem. I don't know how many shepherds there were. Maybe there was a dozen. Maybe there was three. Maybe there was four. Whatever there was. This was not a message to be kept with them. When God planned this 700 years ago with Isaiah, when he said, "For unto us a child is born," God had a bit of planning that went into this. He said, "I'm going to deliver this to a bunch of shepherds." Why? Because I know the shepherds are going to obey, and they're going to go in there and they're going to share the good news. And when they share the good news, what happened? People were amazed. Share the good news that God has given to you. People will be amazed. Try it. Try it. Try. Tell people, you know what? My life sucked. Things were going really badly. And I've put my faith in God. I go to church. I do these things. I'm on my knees and I'm praying. I'm going to do these things. And you know what? There might be still hurdles there, but I've got a faith now. Can I encourage you? Try that. Be obedient to what God is saying. Tell others and they will be amazed. They will be astonished. Share the good news. The shepherds were obeyed and people were astonished. God chose the shepherds because he knew what kind of people they were. He knew they would obey and go. He knew that they would testify and give him praise. If you want God to bless you, you've got to be willing to go when God says go. If you want God to bless you, you need to be willing to go when he says go. The fifth one and the final one, can I have the guys up, thanks. Fifth one is this, outcasts. Outcasts. I've already touched on this slightly, but I want to reiterate this point really clearly. When God chose for angels to announce Jesus' birth, he sent them to the shepherds who were out tending the sheep. The smelly, outcast shepherds who were out tending the sheep. God could have used anybody. God had the whole world to decide who he could have used. And he chose the guys out looking after the sheep. I want you to think about this. Dirty, stinking shepherds camping out and watching their sheep. They heard the joyous praise of angels and they came running to see the newborn Jesus. Now, for those who have been in delivery wards or in hospitals and so forth, do you know what? There's not many hospital delivery wards would allow you to go in like that. When you're dirty, your boots are full of sheep poo, your clothes smell. I can guarantee when you got to the delivery room door, the matron would sit there and say, "Hey, you ain't allowed in here." But we had some really good news and we want to come and celebrate. You ain't family, you're dirty old sheep, you're outcasts, you're not worthy of being in here, you ain't coming in. But that's how our God works. Because our God works in the fact that sheep, guess where they went to see Jesus being born? They went to a dirty manger where there was cow poo around them, where it smelt. You know, God's pretty clever, isn't he? God's pretty clever. Is when the shepherds went there, the shepherds went to see the Son of God born who would save the world, and they found him in a manger. The shepherds felt right at home. The shepherds who were outcast for the rest of their society. Society said to them, "You're no good." God said, "You are good." Society said to them, "No, you stink." God said, "I love your smell." Society said to them, "Do you know what? You've got nothing. You're going to be a shepherd all your life. That's all you're going to do. That's all you are." God said, "You are going to share the greatest news ever. You will go down in history of sharing the greatest news ever." Can I ask you to stand? In just a moment, Steve and the worship team are going to re-sing this song that we sung just a moment ago. But I want to tell you this, church, before we finish. I want to say to each and every person in here that you are not too low, that you are not too insignificant, that you are not too broken, busted, and beaten, that you are not too unimportant or powerless, that you are not too forgotten, that you are not too anything for God to love you, to search you, and to want to bring you home. When the angel spoke and said, "Do not be afraid, I bring you good news of great joy. Today in the town, a Savior has been born. He is Christ the Lord." It was really important, but it was not too important that it left you out. That night, the humble shepherd was favored by God. They didn't expect it. They didn't desire it. They didn't act like royalty once they received it. These outcasts were obedient. They overflowed with joy, and they took the opportunity that God had presented before them. God used them, and people were amazed. There's one final point I want to share. And this is a personal revelation that I received. And that is the point that God chose the shepherds because a shepherd is willing to go after his sheep. I believe there are some here today who feel like that they are outcast, who feel like that 2017 has been a year when you have sat on the sidelines because you're broken and you're busted and maybe you're a bit on the nose. I feel like that there are some here today when we enter the Christmas season and you feel lost. Situations leading up to this haven't been great. You're struggling with family. You're struggling with friends. To be honest, you're struggling with self. The Bible is filled with stories of shepherds who did crazy things for their lost sheep. Jesus, as our good shepherd, is crazy about you. He must be, because he came to earth in the form of a baby born in a manger, knowing that in time to come he would ultimately be crucified on a cross in order that we would have our sins washed clean. The story of the shepherds is God's reminder that no one can steal his grace from us. Can I just encourage you, as we sing this song right now, no matter where you have been, how you smell, how lost you feel, how far away from God you feel, God is saying, "I will do crazy things to come after you." I don't believe there is a better time than 8 days before Christmas to say, "God, use me. Overflow me. I'm an outcast. I'm broken, but I'm prepared to be used by you." As we sing this song, if that's you, if you're feeling in that space and you want to say, "God, use me," I'm going to encourage you just to come at the front. I would love, and the pastoral care team would love to be able to pray for you. No matter where you're at, this is between you and God. Remember that overflow thing? If you feel a little bit awkward, bring the person next to you. Maybe you sense that the person next to you wants to go forward. Be encouraged and bring them forward with you. But if that's you, I encourage you, join these people who are already coming up now, just as we sing. Thanks, Steve.
Thank you for listening to C3 Hobart Online. If this message has impacted you in any way, please don't hesitate to contact us at c3hobart.org.au.